And from the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Cormery. Tuesday was the first day back for 3 to 5 year olds at Juneau's Gold Creek Child Development Center. The center temporarily closed while its board searched for a new executive director. KTOO's Katie Anastas stopped by and has this report.
Lead teacher Jessica De Leon sits on the floor surrounded by a dozen 3, 4, and 5 year olds.
Let's see, how many of you were super excited to come to school today?
It's their first day back at Gold Creek in nearly 3 months, and they're feeling a mix of emotions.
We've been gone from school for a really long time, right?
Yeah.
And so coming back to school is a little bit difficult, and it's okay if we're feeling really big emotions, if we're feeling a little sad because we've been home with mom and dad, or we haven't seen our friends.
Gold Creek temporarily closed in January as its board searched for a new executive director. Now that search has come to an end. Nicole Kenneker will start work as the center's new director later this month. Ashley Heimbigner is a member of Gold Creek's volunteer board. She says Kenneker will bring administrative experience and personal connection to the job.
She is a parent here at Gold Creek and stepped in, raised her hand when we were really facing some staffing struggles at the end of last year, and put in countless hours as a volunteer while also having a full-time job and two little ones. And the more time we spent with her, the more time we realized that she's really the leader that we need for Gold Creek.
Filling the executive director position meant Gold Creek could open its doors again, though they're starting off small.
When the center closed on January 13th, there were 4 classrooms open, and we're opening with just 1 classroom now, which is a combined preschool pre-K classroom. So with only 12 to 14 students, we didn't need the level of staffing that we did when we closed.
Some staff found jobs at other childcare centers during the closure, but De Leon says something told her to hold on.
I held out for a really long time, you know, just because I believed in Gold Creek and, you know, that it would reopen. And, you know, my heart was with Gold Creek.
Heimbigner expects Gold Creek will face some of the hiring challenges other centers are facing throughout the state as they try to bring on more staff. But she says statewide efforts offer some hope.
It does feel like everyone is trying to come together to rebuild this resource for our community and to provide opportunities for real professional development and career building in this sector. But it's just a start. There's so much work left to be done.
She says Gold Creek hopes to reopen the infant and toddler rooms as soon as they can. In Juneau, I'm Katie Anastas.
And herring season in Sitka is a study in contrasts. Each spring for the last 45 years, large signers tally in tons of herring whose egg sacs are stripped and sold as a delicacy on the international market. But the frenzy and money around the commercial sacro fishery overshadows the indigenous fishing tradition that's taken place for millennia. KCAW's Catherine Rose recently accompanied a pair of subsistence harvesters in search of herring eggs on hemlock branches.
It's a clear Sunday morning in March, and the herring are on the move. Paulette Moreno and Andrew Roberts are slowly motoring north through Sitka Sound. Their 16-foot yellow boat, nicknamed Tweety Bird, is loaded up with 5 hemlock branches to set today. The traditional Thlinkit herring egg harvest has begun. Moreno has been harvesting roe on branches for around 15 years. Roberts has been doing it for most of his life. He points to a rocky area on the western side of Middle Island that's been productive in the past.
This is usually a pretty good spot, that where that boat is, right in that little gut there. That's where we traditionally, you know, when they start spawning in here, there'll be 50 to 100 sets in there. This is a real popular place.
They're cruising along when an announcement from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game comes over VHF radio.
Victoria, the morning. We have about 2 nautical miles of spawn that started this morning down around Shoal Point. Basically the whole point is going off.
The sun is out, but the water is a bit choppy, so Moreno and Roberts may not make it out to Shoals Point, which is about 9 miles of open water away from where we are now, on the southeastern tip of Kruzoff Island. But they're not worried. They've already set some trees in that area. Moreno says for the last 3 years, she and the Herring Protectors, a local advocacy group, have been setting protection trees to call attention to traditional fishing grounds that should be avoided by commercial seining vessels.
So they're complete sets, and we put them in strategic locations, and then we call it fish and game and tell them where they're at. We can set where and when we want, and these protection sets are to remind people who pass that area that there are sets out there. And sometimes those sets do really good, but the idea of a protection tree is to do that, to protect the herring and the area.
They slow their boat down in the lee of Middle Island to wait for the wind to die down. Roberts breaks out a rod and reel and begins to troll for salmon. It's a delicate waiting game. The window to set branches at just the right time has shrunk in recent years.
Right before our eyes, instead of seeing the spawn for 3 or 4 days, we literally are seeing it pass through in 4 hours. Unheard of. Unheard of.
Roberts says it didn't used to be that way.
It was so thick. I've seen as a toddler that when the tide went out, herring would be stuck in the tide pools because there's no, you know, the sand was so full that there was no place fish to go. So I've seen it just in my generation, how plentiful the herring were, and it's not that way anymore.
He believes that's due to years of mismanagement of the commercial fishery. 2022 saw the biggest commercial harvest in Sitka's history, 25,000 tons, which was just over half of the 45,000 tons the Department of Fish and Game allowed that year. In 2019 and 2020, the market crashed and there was no commercial fishing at all. Moreno remembers how good those years were for traditional harvesters.
It was the year that COVID had just started, and we came through Middle Island, and it was a very calm, beautiful day. It was native heaven again, because there were boats and skiffs, and it was calm, it was peaceful, there was spawn everywhere. There was no competition with a commercial fleet whatsoever. Everybody's waving and smiling, we're all putting down our branches.
She yearns for that undisturbed time on the water. While she's called for moratoriums of the commercial fishery in the past and would still like to see that, she suggests a year on and a year off could be a place where traditional harvesters and commercial fishermen could find compromise.
It would give us as harvesters a chance to go out undisturbed and be in that native heaven, you know, that we experience when there are not obstacles and we are closest to our spirit and our way of life. And then it would give the herring a chance to replenish those different years. So yes, every other year I think would be good, but we need help in pursuing it, because the organizations that we have to go to try to just bring these things forward are not always receptive.
That time out on the water is important to Moreno, because traditional harvesting is much more, much deeper than the word subsistence suggests.
Something that we need as a people to survive in the best way possible, because this feeds our spirits. And not only our spirits, there are Alaska Native and Native Alaskans who share this with us, who are hungry for balance in this world, who are hungry for things that matter the most. And this is one of them. So we need that to be uninhibited. The closer that we are to less barriers and challenges and obstacles just to get the food that we have always eaten, the less barriers, the closer we are to our core. Every barrier that's put up that we need to deal with brings us further from our very soul and our very way of life. And it's a sacred, beautiful way of life. And that's all we're asking, is to be able to practice that.
As the pair troll back towards town, over the VHF radio, commercial fishermen let each other know where they're going next to look for schools of herring. Roberts and Moreno laugh. they can see a big school of herring on their depth sounder just below the boat. But they'll keep it to themselves today. The herring were right there with us, Moreno later said as we got off the boat in Sealing Cove. That's communication. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Catherine Rose.
In Juneau, it's 38 degrees. You're listening to KTOO.